So I am sure that I'm the only one that this has ever happened to. Sometimes, when I need to explain things to my boys, something that maybe has a couple of parts, and maybe one or two of which are not all that good, they get stuck on the bad, no matter how good the closing statement might be, right? It might go something like this. Hey guys, come here. I need to tell you something. So you know that we were planning on taking you two over to your friend's house this afternoon for a couple of hours, right? Well, I just got off the phone with his mom, and their whole family has the flu, and they're puking everywhere. It just isn't something you want to be around, so you guys aren't going to go over there today. The last thing you need is to get sick yourself, and they're not going to be that much fun to be around today anyway. But his mom feels really bad about this, so she offered that once they get better, you guys could come over and spend the night. How's that? Well, that might be what I had planned to say to them. I mean, that might be how I wanted it to go, but they would never have heard those last few sentences, and certainly not the last one about spending the night, because as soon as I let loose with, so you guys aren't going over there today, the weeping and gnashing of teeth would have started. Loud wails of lament would arise. Cries of not fair! And bodies would be thrown on the floor. They would be simply incapable of hearing the rest. No amount of reason, discussions of not getting sick and them not having any fun would get through to them. They would have heard the bad news and their reactions would have taken over. It's hard to break bad news to young kids. I mean, our oldest is getting better, mostly. The middle, well, he doesn't do it so well, but I mean, it's normal. Kids have very little experience in dealing with these situations. And as they mature, they learn to deal with it. They wait and listen for good news if there is any, but it remains hard. Well, it's hard for us adults at times. Bad news is powerful. Sometimes, if the news is bad enough, we feel like we're dying inside. I mean, maybe it's a breakup. Even if deep down we know the person isn't right for us anyway, the bad news there is that we're alone and we fear that no one will want to be with us. No one will love us. Maybe it's a job loss and we fear that we have no place in this world to provide for our family. Contribute something to society. Every piece of bad news can be a little death. And the grief can overpower us if we cannot see anything good coming out of the situation. And maybe that bad news really is death. We get that phone call about a loved one. Expected or not, long time coming or a sudden surprise, that bad news takes root, gets in our heads and our hearts, and we too die a little. We know the disciples weren't much different. Several times throughout Jesus' ministry, he tells his disciples, hey guys, come here. I need to tell you something. So we're going to go to Jerusalem, and things aren't going to go so well. I'm going to suffer at the hands of the authorities. They're not going to welcome me, and they're going to kill me. But listen up. On the third day, I will be raised up to new life. But they don't hear that last part. They don't hear the good news because the bad news is so devastating. At one point, Peter stands up and rebukes Jesus. Jesus doesn't try to repeat the good news, doesn't try to reason with them or explain it to them. He just rebukes Peter in return. Get behind me, Satan. During the transfiguration scene, Jesus is coming down the mountain with Peter, James, and John and talks about Elijah coming unrecognized and being put to death. And he tells them that he too will suffer in the same way. And then it says that the disciples realized Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. And they just ignored the part of Jesus' suffering. Gone. We do that too. Faced with death, we just go numb, ignoring the bad news instead of reacting in some over-the-top manner. Death can do that. And so, when Jesus dies, maybe the force of those words about Jesus dying were recalled. Who knows? The women, those who hung around to the very bitter end, who saw the lifeless body taken down and placed in the tomb, saw it sealed and guards placed around it. Those who know without a doubt that Jesus is dead, for some reason go, as Matthew describes, to see the tomb, to see the death. What could they have done? Why'd they go? Are they numb with grief? Do they think they can do anything? Jesus' prediction, after all, came true. Maybe they just can't believe it, even if they saw it all happen. Death causes funny thought processes in our heads. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it didn't really happen. Maybe they thought there was something they could do. And maybe something else was at work. Because then an earthquake was unleashed. At Jesus' birth, a star appears. At Jesus' death, the whole earth shudders. And an angel descends and rolls the stone away. The guards fall over like dead men. And the angel speaks, "Fear not, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said." The angel reminds the women of the good news that went along with the bad that they just could not get their heads around. "He has been raised from the dead," the angel says. The women leave with both fear and joy to tell the disciples. And Jesus meets them. No longer must they take an intermediary's word. They witness Jesus alive. Not just a vision or a dream. They take hold of him and worship him. This taking hold and worshiping him is the reality check that brings the good news home for them. No more does the bad news hold sway over them, hold them in bondage, keep them captive. Jesus is alive. This shakes them out of their death-induced stupor. Here they behold the promise brought about in Jesus himself. Death shall be no more. He's not merely resuscitated. He was dead. He didn't sidestep it. He didn't somehow avoid it. He did not slip off to somewhere for a while. These women know they were there. And now he is alive. Jesus is raised to end the power of death once and for all. They came to see the tomb. And here they see Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus opens our eyes to the power that death holds over us. The bad news distorts our vision until the resurrected Jesus appears. Now we can see how death determines our living, how we collaborate with death, seeking our own good rather than following God's desires. We bargain with it. We tolerate it. We begin to see death as normal. And so we begin to say things about it that make it seem nice and friendly. We try to tame it. We seek other ways around it. But here and now, in the light of this new day, Jesus is raised. Death no longer has dominion over him, nor does it over all who are united with him. And as he goes to meet his brothers in Galilee, where they will see him following his resurrection, see him freed from the bonds of death, Jesus comes to us too. In the waters of baptism, in the bread and wine at the altar, in the words of forgiveness, we too will see him, so that we may be given good news again and again and again. We are united with him. We too shall die. We know that. But that will not be the end. With the eyes of faith, we see Christ among us, bearing good news to us, that he continues to give himself to us until the end, when he will come again and our stone will be rolled away, and he will raise us up so that we may hear the great and glorious news again, that we belong to him and death has no power over us. Thanks be to God. Amen.